Good day to you. God bless you. Say, welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour, Joshua. That's the book we're teaching now. And Joshua in the Hebrew tongue is Yeshua, being properly translated rather than transliterated. It means Yahweh's Savior. And what this is a prelude to entering the promised land. And it's kind of a type of how we will enter the promised land in the end times. So you want to pay close attention and let the Holy Spirit touch you. Joshua has just been approached by, in the 13th verse of the 5th chapter, it came to pass that Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. Now, that's the angel of the Lord. And I want you to know he's ready for action, okay? Not a wimp, okay? And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? He wasn't sure. But then when he would realize he was in the presence of the angel of the Lord, which is to say the Almighty God's presence, okay? Just as he had appeared to Moses, in a sense. Then we see what begins to transpire. What does our Father say? So, chapter 5, verse 14, a word of wisdom from our Father, verse 14, and it reads, and he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. I'm the commander-in-chief, okay? And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? In other words, he knew this wasn't an angel, because angel worship is a sin. And he's worshiping this one because he knows it's the presence of Almighty God, his Lord. Verse 15, and the captain of the Lord's host, which is the commander-in-chief himself, said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. So God always demands a certain amount of respect and dignity in the very presence of the Spirit of God, as it is present. Chapter 6, verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none went in. I mean, they have seen and observed, they have observed the Jordan itself at flood stage, blocked by the presence of God, leading these people and seeing all these Israelites cross over that river on dry ground. And they know that God is with them, and they're afraid of them. They shut the city up, sealed the gates. Verse 2, and the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. They're yours. Now, who did this? Not Joshua, and not the army. Almighty God. Jericho means a place of fragrance, and Babylon and confusion does have a fragrance, all right, how sweet it is. But at the same time, how bitter to the tummy. Verse 3. And you shall compass the city, And all ye men of war, go around about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. Now, these are direct commands from Almighty God. How much discipline do you have? These directions apply basically to the end times as well, if you're thinking. Okay. Verse 4, and 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times. And the priest shall blow with the trumpets. 7 trumpets. What happens on the 7th trump? The Lord returns. Okay. Now, at the same time, what does this mean, 6 days? Just once. All you're going to do is go around it one time. Most people disallow or do not count in dispensations of time the first earth age. But you're in the 6th dispensation. And when that seventh comes along, you enter the promised land, or that is to say, you enter the millennium, the seventh dispensation of time. So your God is verifying here in the method. And why would the seven priests be forth, the 7,000 of God's elect, spiritual completeness, God in control? That we see end times written all over this. And who's in charge? The commander-in-chief, Almighty God. This is why you got to let go and let God many times. Listen to Him. Let God speak. And He will never leave us, nor will He ever forsake us. And when that seventh trump blows, you can rest assured, the second advent will transpire. Verse 5. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, this is on the seventh day at the seventh trump, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. It's going to, the Hebrew here means it falls from under, meaning it sinks right into the ground. The wall just disappears. Again, who's doing this? God's army? No, God Himself. This is why you want to always leave God in the equation of your life. Why be a loser when you can be a winner? Verse 6. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. In other words, doing it by the number, exactly as the Father would state. Verse 7. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And so it is. Verse 8. And it came to pass when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of the Lord's horns passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And seven times, as we go on with these seven priests, you can't help but think of God's election. Okay, those set aside from even that first dispensation of time when Satan rebelled. And to witness the overtaking, counting the time, observing, but most of all, following God's will. Following God's orders. That's discipline. Show me a church, a home, or a people without discipline, and I'll show you mass confusion. Verse 9. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the rearward, that's to say the rear guard, came after the ark, and the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And here we go. Verse 10. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice. I want you to underline that in your mind. Make no noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I bid you shout. Then shall you shout. This should remind you of God's elect being delivered up before the false Messiah. You keep your mouth shut until the Holy Spirit speaks through you, because it's not you that speak, but it is the Lord God Almighty that speaks through His servants, through that 7,000, as it is written in Matthew chapter 24, as it is written in Mark chapter 13. And at that time, you keep your voice silent as far as yabbity-dabbity-do, or so-called speaking with your voice. Because that voice of Pentecost only comes at one time. And it is that was spoken of by Joel the prophet, not before, not after, or not until. Let no man deceive you. And then at that time, when that seventh trump sounds, when that time of execution. A trump means action. Get it on. then at that time, when that seventh dispensation is that close and it is that time for the attack, then that angel of the Lord standing in there with the sword in his hand. What is the sword of the Lord? Have you never read Revelation chapter 1, verse 15 and 16? The sword of the Lord is the Lord's tongue. It's two-edged. It's sharp. It cuts both ways. It is his voice. And his voice that speaks through the 7,000, again, as it is written in Mark 13, you shall not premeditate what you will say beforehand, but you will speak what the Holy Spirit gives you at that moment, then speak. It is written in Luke 21 that even the gainsayers will be convinced by what you say, because why? It's not you speaking, but it is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Almighty God speaking through you. You've got to learn discipline. You got to learn to do it God's way. And this is a very important scripture. It has a great meaning, and it's time for that spirit, that holy ruach, to come forth. So, when that transpires, do it by the numbers and do it God's way. Until then, you let your voice be silent. But when God's ready to speak, don't commit the unpardonable sin and refuse the Holy Spirit. If you're one of God's elect, they're the only ones that could commit that sin. I don't think it will happen. We're ready. We're armed. We have that sword of the Lord, and it's not sheathed. Verse 11. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. One time, boom. And these people in Jericho got to be wondering, what in the world are they doing? They just went around our city and they're frightened. They got it all locked up and closed. And they stop. And they camp. Verse 12. Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. 13. And seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, but the rearward, that's the rear guard, came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. That trumpet of the Lord sounding. 14. And the second day they compassed the city once, and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. By this time, the people in Jericho are about to blow their bonnet. What are these people up to? And naturally to you, it's marking off dispensations of time, one at a time, where you can reckon and understand and search and know of a certainty. 15. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner, not once, but seven times, spiritual completeness. Only on that day they compassed the city seven times. And there's that seven-time witness. Verse 16. And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout! For the Lord hath given you the city. Now, did it say the army's taken the city? No. The Lord has given you the city. Almighty God is in control. 17. And the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live. She was not a harlot, as you well know. She and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. You're going to protect her. You take care of her. And naturally, she was marked by the red thread, the scarlet linen, which she had woven. 18. And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed. When you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse, and trouble it. This means Be careful. Do you know what the accursed thing is? It's a Baal priest robe, for one thing, or the very tools that false religions worship. God doesn't like that. And when you listen to nonsense and give it credence, then you're mocking God. When you let false teachings, when you let people in the name of God lie, and you believe it, that's an accursed thing. You stick to the Word of God, order by order, command by command, day by day, once, 6 days, seven times, seventh day, and then let it rip, okay? Attack, let when God gives the command. But don't dare take up the accursed thing. Don't listen to junk, okay? You have quite a drive on from so-called higher critics or so-called thinkers who are pushing at this time atheism, which if and especially bringing on evolution. And this is an accursed thing. You know, you don't have to be the smartest light bulb in the drawer to know that if evolution were a fact, that is to say, if little amoebas from the water can begin to come out and grow tails and then grow legs and then pretty soon turn into monkeys and then monkeys turn into apes and apes turn into man, it would have to be an unending process. In other words, you would have people halfway up the food chain right now. Well, where are they? Okay. I'll tell you where they are. They're exactly like God created them, and they have not changed, nor will they. So idiocy runs rampant when so-called learned idiots begin to espouse nonsense, unbelievable stuff. If you take just a moment, take a deep breath and think. Show me the half and half. Show me where this chain of process is taking place. If it's happened, it's got to be eternal. Okay. It's not. Why? Because, again, they're exactly as God created them. That's how they are. And that's how it's going to be. You want to know how to take of the accursed thing today? Start listening to junk. Start listening to uneducated people in theology that feel they've got the world by the tail when actually they have a fast train ride and a one-way ticket to hell. And a good place for them. Okay. So think and do your own thinking. Think for yourself. Reason things out. Do not partake of the accursed thing. Well, how do I prevent that? Listen to your Father. He sent you this letter giving you play-by-play, action by action, whereby you can follow His plan, His will, and His way. Don't listen to junk. Now, there was a provision, 19, but all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated. They're holy unto the Lord, meaning they're mine. They're not yours, they're mine. They shall come into the treasure of the Lord. In other words, it had kind of been ripped off from the wandering in the wilderness and so forth. They took all the gold and made idols out of it and got it all ground up and so forth. Now they're kind of replenishing. Verse 20, so the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat. So that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. When you do it God's way, when you allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you, when you do it on God's time schedule, exactly as it's written in Mark 13, you don't have to want for information. Read it. If you want another witness, read Matthew 24. If you want another witness from that, read Luke 21. God never leaves you wanting for information. Do it His way. The numbers have been given. Play it out. Verse 21. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. The Spirit of the Lord and the sword of the Lord took it. 22, but Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house. Again, she was no harlot, but she was even in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. But she was a good businesswoman, and a good businesswoman at this time especially picked up a bad reputation. And bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as you swear unto her. You keep your word. She gave you your life for hers. You protect hers. 23. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all of her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And there she became and would later come into even the lineage of Jesus Christ himself. Verse 24. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein, only the silver and gold and the vessels of brass and of iron. They put into the treasure of the house of the Lord. They restocking. 25. And Joshua saved Rahab, the harlot, alive, and her father's household, and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even to this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Joshua being Yeshua, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and this one woman would be in the lineage of the true Yeshua, that is to say, the true Jesus. Verse 26. And Joshua adjured them at the time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. Verse 27. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. The Lord was what? The Lord was with him. You know, but it is a very strange thing how human beings can be. How magnificent. I mean, hey, took that city, bang, just, I mean, no problem whatsoever. Aren't we something? Wow. Chapter 7, verse 1. Don't ever start thinking like that. God did it. Don't leave him out of the equation. Verse 1, chapter 7. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, and Achan in the Hebrew tongue means trouble, and boy is he trouble, the son of Carmi, that's vine dresser, the son of Zabdi, my gift, the son of Zerah, that's to say the rising of the sun, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. One person, one bad apple in the barrel. Old Achan. That's why when you go through the valley of Achan, you're going through the valley of trouble. Verse 2. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai. That means a heap, okay, an old ruins, which is beside Beth-aven. That's the house of nothing, emptiness. Not God's house, Bethel. Beth-aven, on the east side of Bethel, the house of God. And spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. They went up to spy it out a little bit. 3. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but a few. There are not many of them up on that hill. We've spied it out. Now, let me ask you a question. Did God tell Joshua to take Ai? Did God tell Joshua, let 2,000 or 3,000 go up there? No, he didn't. But they have been so, I mean, you know, mankind so successful. We took Jericho without a hitch. You know, we just need a few. We can cut it. We can handle it. You know, that's good if you've got God with you. It doesn't take many if God's with you. But God's not with them. God's not in this. How quick people forget to leave God out of the equation of their life. And then they wonder why they fail. It's amazing. So what happens to them? Verse 4. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. I mean, their shirts are batting in the breeze. They're coming off of that heap like a bunch of scared rabbits. I mean, they've been thumped big time. 5. And the men of Ai smote them about 36 men, for they chased from them from before the gate even to Shebarim, that's to say the breach, and there was a breach all right, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water, and their breeches like water too. I mean, they're running like a bunch of scared rabbits. They're cowards, wimps. Why? They left God out of the equation. They didn't ask Him. They didn't wait for Him. Didn't even pray about it. How could that be? When God appeared in the angel of the Lord to Joshua, Joshua, of course, he listened to that man. We don't need many. We went up there and we looked. There's hardly anything up there. Be a breeze for us. Don't trouble everybody. Let us brave hearts take the hill. And boy, here they came off that hill running like rabbits, okay? Why? They left God out of the equation. I don't know, how do you do in your life? Have you ever been in trouble up to here and wonder why? Did you consult with the Father? Did you ask His blessings? Were you doing it His way? I don't know, you might say, well, how do I know it's His? Well, He sent you a letter giving you example after example, type after type. Those types he gave us for a reason. And here they blew it big time. Verse 6. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. He and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. I mean, they're weeping and crying. 7. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. That's not what God told them. God opened the Jordan for them, brought them over, gave them Jericho. And here, these souls that listen to God so precisely. Do you want to know why? Because out of this group, one partook of the accursed thing, bad teaching, bad word, got them off course. I don't know, how's your life doing? You ever get off course? Just listen to junk. Listen to bad teaching. Listen to a bunch of malarkey and end up just right back where you started. Got to listen to your Father. Don't dare. I mean, how dare they talk to our Father in this way, even Joshua himself? Blaming God for bringing them over there when God opened the path. And they go up to Ai without even consulting God. And then try to put a trip on Him. Won't fly, friend. Verse 8. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? They're running like a bunch of cowards. Verse 9. For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall in-run us round and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? You know, again, this is true. You show weakness and they're running like a bunch of cowards, Canaanites are going to be on their case before God. As we learn way back in chapter 2 of the great book of Deuteronomy, God said, I'm going before you and I'm going to put my fear in their hearts. And God kept his part of that bargain right down to the letter. I mean, he gave them Jericho. He parted the Jordan River. He nursed them all the way through. His own sword drawn and ready for action, in action. And then they let one scallywag partake of the accursed thing, and it throws them so off guard that Joshua himself forgets to convey to God what they're doing and asking his blessings. And now he says, Lord, they're going to see I've got a bunch of cowards out here. Verse 10, and the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? You're acting like a wimp. Stand up and act like a man. That's the way our God operates. 11. Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also. And they have put it even among their own stuff. They've got that cursed thing right here in this camp. False teaching in the camp of God. False teachings in the church of God. God doesn't like it. It's a very serious thing. And it's something you want to really, you know, if it seems like everything is kind of falling apart and you got troubles, okay, you better do a little inventory in your life. God loves his children. He has promised, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Then what are you doing standing out there all alone with your heart trembling? Because you're not walking. Okay, you're not taking him into the equation of your life like you should. Especially discard the accursed thing, false teachings. You know, you can start toying around with silly thoughts. And then when you start believing silly thoughts from Satan and bringing it into your life, after God sent you a letter by the number telling you exactly how it's going down so that you could follow. This is that was spoken of by Joel the prophet. Don't let someone deceive you. This is how it's going to be. I'm quoting from Acts chapter 2. And yet people will just fall all over the face of the earth in false teachings. And God makes it so simple. So it's important that you do listen to him. Now, We've got the folks in... We didn't get them there. They got themselves in this trouble. And we'll fix the camp. Achan, old trouble, will be spotted. And we'll get that trouble out of the camp. All right, don't miss the next lecture. Bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD.